Today's Shir is Masech Baba Basra, Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Hei Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. We have been discussing in our Shurim wine that got spoiled, wine that became vinegar, wine that isn't quality wine. So begins the Gemara of Yehuda Yain Animka Bechanos, wine that's sold in the stores, which, as we've explained, it's poor quality wine. Mavarchan la bari priagofen. We still make a bari priagofen. Rav Chizda says, Gabichamra the akrim lomeli. Wine that is spoiled, why should we make a bari priagofen? And as the Mefarshim explained, this wine already has the smell of vinegar. And the Gemara's question, therefore, is that since it already has the smell of vinegar, why would I make a bari priagofen on something? Why would I make a bari priagofen that smells like vinegar? Meisvei asked the Gemara on the opinion Rabbi Huda just said. The Brisa Masech, the Brachas, Daf Mem Amabeis, speaks about Hilchas Brachas. And the Brisa says, Pasha Ipshop, a bread became moldy, Valyayin Shehikrim, wine that's spoiling, Valtafsha Sha'avrit Rosai, something that is a bari mina mezonos that loses its shape and its taste, but it's still somewhat edible. I am a shakal nevedvarei. The bracha shakal nevedvarei. So how do we say? Says the Gemara. How do you, Rabbi Huda, say the yayin and nimcha mechanos is a bari priagofen? Answers the Gemara. Amar Azvid. My Rabbi Huda bepetzuma de mizdabena kenaisa. Wine that is still sold, that you have people that don't care about the quality of the wine. So there, Rabbi Huda is going to agree, there are different categories of wine that gets spoiled. If it's wine that's sold at Karnosa, it's not even sold in a store, it's sold in the corner. So there, the wine is obviously very poor quality. And Rabbi Huda will agree that that's what the Brice is speaking about, that you don't make a bari priagofen, you make a shahakal. Whereas the Gemara wine that we're speaking about is yayin that's nimcha b'chanus. If it's wine that's sold in the store, even though, as we've learning and will continue to learn, it's not quality wine, but it's still somewhat usable. It's still somewhat quality. It's still sold in a store. And therefore, the bracha on such a wine is still bari priagofen. So as we've learning now, when we speak about brachas, and when Chazal said that we should make a bracha past the shahakal near bedvaroi, it has to be something which is significant. And wine which is good, you make a bari priagofen. Bari minazinus, you make on foods that were made into a cake, for example, a cookie. Bread is hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And vegetables, we make a bari pri adama. Fruits, we make a bari pri eitz. However, the halacha is that when are these special brachas recited? Only in a way when a food is usually eaten. So for example, the Gemara Masech, the brachas daf lamed ches amud beis teaches us that in those days people only ate cucumbers raw. So if somebody were to eat cooked cucumbers, he doesn't make a bari pri adama, but he makes a shahakal. But the halacha is, if, even though we just said that on cooked vegetables and cooked cucumbers, in those days, you made a shahakal, not a bari pri adama, if somebody, b'di'evid, made a bari pri adama, the halacha is, he's yaitza, because what he said is actually true. Cucumbers come from the ground. The Brisa said that one should say the bracha shakal nevedvaroi on moldy bread and a wine that turns sour and has that vinegary taste. Explains the Beis Yosef that the Brisa is speaking to bread which, even though it's moldy, is still edible. However, rotten food, which is not fit for human consumption, you don't make a bracha on it at all. It's not considered food. The same, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, is regarding food that was burnt or food that was overspiced. If it was burnt or over-spiced to the extent that most people would refrain from eating it, the bracha is, and decides to eat it, the bracha is shehakel. Says the Mishnah Brura, the reason our Gemara says that a mozi is not set on moldy bread is that it's like cooked cucumbers. And only when you eat it in a significant way do you make the hamotzi. So says the Mishnah Brura, what about birchas hamazon? What happens with saying that on a moldy bread, given the reasons we've given, we don't make a hamotzi. But when we say birchas hamazon, because birchas hamazon is a bircha d'oraisa for whenever you eat bread, and therefore there should be, when it comes to birchas hamazon, all of these considerations that we have been discussing should not be relevant. But the rice, if you ate bread, you have to make a bari priya gofen. But the Mishnah Brura points out that the Rambam's opinion is that after eating moldy bread, one should say bari nefashos, not birchas hamazon. Why? Because apparently, the opinion of the Rambam is that moldy bread is not just an inferior bread, and therefore you don't make hamotzi, we say birchas hamazon. He says it's not considered bread at all. And therefore, we have a very interesting question. What would be the halacha if somebody accidentally, b'dieved, made hamotzi or moldy bread? Is it like making bari pri adam on cooked vegetables? If we say that the issue with moldy bread is that's not significant, then just like by cucumbers, even though you should make a shahakal when they're cooked, but they're still cucumbers, and this is still bread. But if we say, like the Mishnah Brura suggested in the Rambam, that moldy bread is not bread, so then you can't say hamotzi lechem in arutz. Amalei Abaye Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye Rabbi said to Rabbi Yosef, ha, this opinion Rabbi Yehuda said, that wine that's sold in a chanus, the bracha, is still bari pri hagofen, ha Rav Chisda, we have the opinion of Rav Chisda, who started the shir that said it's a shahakal. So ask the Gmamakan Svirle, what is your opinion? Amalei, so Rav Yosef responded, Masnissin Yedonim. I know what I learned in a brisa. The Tanya the brisa says that somebody has different barrels of wine. Barrels of wine that are tevel, that we know we have to take off truma. And the halacha is, we could take off truma from one barrel of wine for other barrels of wine. So the Braisa teaches us, Abaydik as a chavis. Somebody is examining the chavis today to know if it's still wine, and you could use it for all the other barrels to take off from this barrel, truma, for all the other barrels, or you cannot. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim how this tasting is done. Some Rishonim suggest that this tasting is done was actually tasting the wine, and some say that smelling it would be sufficient. So again, to be able to use this barrel of wine to take truma for other barrels of wine, and we need to know, is it wine or is it vinegar? So the Rishonim explained, we learned the other day in that Pei Dalad, a machloikis, Bonan and Rebbe, if yayin and chaymetz, if wine and vinegar, are considered one min or two minim. So certainly according to the opinion that says that yayin and chaymetz are two different minim, if it's vinegar, you can't take truma from vinegar on wine. But even according to the opinion, that's the opinion of Rebbe, but even according to the opinion of Rabbanan, that they're one, that still, l'chatchili, you're not supposed to take from wine, from vinegar for wine, for two reasons. Number one is you're not supposed to take truma min aroh alayofa, from something which is not good on something which is good. That's one consideration. The other consideration why it would not be acceptable is because this person, when he took off the truma, his intention was to take min from wine. And if it turns out that what he did, what he's taking, is not wine, so it's not what his intention was, and therefore it's not acceptable. And therefore, says the Braisa, and now it turns out that this barrel that he was relying on is vinegar. So the halacha is kol shloisha yomim vaday. The Brisa makes a statement which we're going to discuss. Kol shloisha yomim vaday ve'kav ve'elich sofik. And the Gemara right away asks, my comer, what is meant with the statement? The Rishonim ask a question. The one of the halachas by Truma and by Challah is that you have to take off min hamukaf. Everything has to be next to each other. So how can we take from one barrel of wine to another barrel of wine that isn't that lacking in being min hamukaf? So one pshat is since they're next to each other, it's enough to be min hamukaf. Another pshat is that the halacha is that an Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, it doesn't have to be min hamukaf. The Rambam's opinion is that the whole halacha is only of mukaf is only l'chatchila, but the eved mukaf is shleimen mukaf is always fine. Another pshat that Tosfos Ritz suggests is that halacha min hamukaf was only said by Truma deraisa, not by Truma derabbanan. The Ramban says that whenever there's a concern, like we're dealing with amaratzim, the halacha is that we should avoid the problem. We should avoid min hamukaf in order to make sure that truma is taken off properly. And like I said, many Rishonim say if you have the barrels next to each other, even though each barrel of wine is a separate barrel of wine, that's still considered, it's still considered min hamukaf. So the Braiser made an ambiguous statement. And we need to understand what that means. The first 3 days after I tasted the wine, and it was wine, vadayayin, it's still wine. Bekam ve'elech, only after those 3 days do we begin to have a suffix. Because, and therefore whatever was taken, truma during the first 3 days, after the designation of this barrel to be the truma barrel, will be fine. And because they established, it takes at least 3 days for wine to become from wine to vinegar. So if it was wine today, we could be certain that for the next 3 days, it was still enough, it was still considered enough of a category of wine that could be used for truma. My tama, says the Gemara, what's the reason that for the first three days, after we checked that it was wine, it certainly continues to be wine? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds, chamri miloy ochr. If you have a barrel of wine, the top of the barrel becomes spoiled first. And the high time of Elokar, and this person, whatever pshat that we said at the beginning of a few moments ago, he tasted the top of the barrel, he smelled the top of the barrel, and it was wine. Im tim tzolayma, so even if it was worst case scenario, the boss of the tima ochr, immediately after we tasted it, that's when it started to turn sour. Havarecha chala, the tamachamri. It will still be in a category that it smells like vinegar but tastes like wine. And he holds the korecha chala, the tamachamra, as long as it smells like vinegar but tastes like wine, it has a din of chamra, it has a din of wine. Therefore, the first 3 days, there's no question. The question will only begin after the first 3 days. And now we have a very big issue explained to Rishonim. So what will be after the first 3 days? I can't say it's vinegar at that point for certain. I can only know it's vinegar now when I'm checking it, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And I can't know that it was still wine. So to take from another place won't work. Because if I take from another place, then we're going to have a concern. If I take from another place, we're going to have a concern that maybe it's min ha'ra'a la'yot, that's min ha'ptor al-achiv, because maybe this min ha'chiv al-ptor. That other barrel is already, it has a chiv truma, and this barrel maybe doesn't have chiv truma. So because we don't know exactly what to do, the halacha tells us that you'll only explain to Rishonim that this case, I'll only be able to take truma from it from this barrel itself. And it'll work like this. If it's wine, fine. And if it's vinegar, it's fine. Because there's no problem of min ha'ra'a al ha'ra'a. If it's all vinegar, it's fine. Rabbi Shuben Levi says the Gemara has a different approach to this brisa. If I found that it's vinegar now, I can be certain that for the last 3 days before today it was already vinegar. Vadei chaimetz. Mikana lahalon, anything that happened before these 3 days is suffic. And therefore, if I know that if today it's vinegar, that this is vinegar already at least for the last 3 days, anything that was done is meaningless. And I could take again, I have to take vadei truma again. My tama. What is the reasoning for Rabbi Shuben ben Levi? He says, chamri metatoi ochr. When wine becomes vinegar, it starts from the bottom. Veima ochr. So therefore, even when I bought the wine and I examined the wine and it didn't taste like, and it tastes like wine, that doesn't mean that the bottom of the barrel, veima ochr, maybe the bottom of the barrel was already vinegar, velava date, I just didn't realize. Vim timtzloimer. And even if you'll say that it starts miloy ochr, that it starts from the top. And I think that the reason the Gemara says this in Tim Tzolaymer, because the Gemara is bothered that to say that the machloikus of Yochanan and Shum Balevi is over a fact. Does it become vinegar from the top or does it come vinegar from the bottom? The Gemara finds that difficult to understand. And therefore the Gemara is saying, yes, I'll grant that the vinegar, it becomes vinegar from the top. And here, when he bought it for Tim Vilayakar, as soon as I tasted it, it was not vinegar. Dilma, we need to be concerned. Bust the Tim Akar. The moment after I tasted it, it started becoming vinegary. And have a recha chal of a tamachamra. So now I'm going to have a beverage which smells like vinegar and tastes like wine. And he holds, this becomes a halachic disagreement, that recha chal of a tamachamra, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds, something that smells like vinegar, tastes like wine, has the din of wine, he says that it has to be considered vinegar. The Ramoy, so far we've had two explanations in the Braisa. Now the Gemara offers a third explanation. The Ramoy, that means the Chamul from the south, Master Mishmei Reb Shub and Levi, Rishonim, the first 3 days after we checked the wine, there's no question if it tasted like wine for the 3 days after we checked it, Vadayayin, it's certainly wine. Achroinim, the last 3 days, if we find that it's vinegar today, then there's no question that for the 3 days prior today, it was already chaymetz. And tsoim, the question is, what's going to be the halacha after the first three days after I know it's wine and before the last 3 days that I know it's vinegar? And that's the suffix that we're dealing with. Ask the Gemara, but we need to understand what we just learned. Hagufakasha. Amit Rishonim, the first 3 days after we examine, it's Vadayayim. So we see from here that even though it maybe began spoiling immediately, his opinion obviously is that Amar Recha Chal of Atam Achamer, if it smells like vinegar but it tastes like wine, he considers it wine. Vada Amrit, and then he says, the 3 days before, if I know it's vinegar today, the last 3 days it's already considered vinegar, vadei chaimetz, because obviously his opinion is that reicha chala, as soon as it smells like vinegar, even if tamech amra, chala. So the Gemara's question is, then how do we reconcile this? What is his halachic position regarding something that smells like vinegar but tastes like wine? Says the Gemara, the Reb Shuben Levi speaking about a case going to Shtakach Chala Sefikta. We found it very sharp vinegar. And if not, I found it today to be very sharp vinegar. If it's very sharp vinegar today, Elav the Okatlosa Yoima, if not for the last 3 days, it was already quite vinegary, today I wouldn't be such a strong vinegar. And therefore, we could speak about, if it's very sharp vinegar, it must be that already for the last 3 days it's vinegar, because it doesn't become sharp vinegar immediately. So Abaya began this discussion by asking Reb Yosef, who doesn't agree with in the machloikis of the Maroyim that we began our shiur with today, what bracha do you make of wine that's nimcha b'chamutz, that tastes like wine but smells like vinegar? Bar priyagofen shahakal. And Reb Yosef said that from this brisa, we have an answer. So to ask the Gemara, how do we have an answer? Because we just had that this braisa had many interpretations. So command poshalei. So what is, how is Rabbi Yosef answering? Pliga by Rabbi Mari Rizvid. So it says the Gemara that actually this is a machloikus of Rabbi Mari Rizvid. Chanamar, that the braisa is passing like Rabbi Yochanan, that the bracha is by Rabbi Agofen. The Chanamar Rabbi Shu Belevi, that the bracha is like Rabbi Shu Belevi, is that it's a shakel. So the simple pshat that is that the, each one of them had a Messiah from his Rebbe. Each one of them had it from his Rebbe. What is the halacha? And they said that the braisa is consistent with the Messiah that they have. Another pshat that they said is that since there's a machloikis, everybody will be able to interpret this braisa according to the, this braisa will not pose a question to anybody's psak. The Chedush Iran also says that this Gemara that we're learning is not only relevant for Hilchis Brachis, but it's also relevant for Hilchis Magayayin, Magayakum. We know that if a Nochri touches wine, it becomes prohibited. If Nochri touches vinegar, that halacha doesn't apply. And the halacha, and now the question is, who is the halacha like? At what point is it wine? At what point is vinegar? Itmar, if somebody sells wine to someone else, the chmitza, and it becomes spoiled in the home of the buyer. If it became spoiled within 3 days after I purchased the wine, I could say that it's a mekach tos. And certainly the wine doesn't become spoiled that quickly. And therefore, it's obvious that the wine was already spoiled. It was spoiling when it was at the home by the seller, and therefore it's considered like halacha that keich yayin v'nimtza chaimitz, that we learned on that pei gimel on beis, that if somebody buys wine and it turns out to be vinegar, it's a mekach tos. And as the Rashbam says, but we've begun our shiur today that this person tasted the wine when he bought it, and it tasted like wine. So how can we say that it's spoiled wine if it tasted like wine? So we have to say, says the Rashbam, that he didn't taste it properly. Another pshat, some Rishonim say, that this Gemara is speaking about a case where I didn't taste it. And therefore, I didn't taste the wine when I bought it. And if I didn't taste it, and within 3 days of buying it, it's vinegar, I have a right to say mekach tos. But indeed, those Rishonim suggest that if I tasted it, and it tasted like wine, even though within 3 days of buying it, it's tasting like vinegar, then I can't blame the meicher, and it becomes my problem. Says the Gemara, mekav eilach, but after 3 days, then the halacha is, we blame it on Rishus Lekeach, that we say that it's not a buyer's fault. There is a question in the Rishonim, if this halacha applies under all circumstances, what would be the halacha if he didn't pay for it? Is he still now responsible to pay? Or can an argument be made that if I didn't pay, I can make a claim that it was spoiled wine, and since I can make a claim that it was spoiled wine, how much of a chaver al varaya I won't have to pay? The Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and he says that even if I find it spoiled very, very soon after I bought it, it's the buyer's problem. Why? Says Shmuel Chamrit Akas for the Mari Shavar. Wine is held on the shoulders of the person who carries it. That means it must be that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish me, and by the way he punishes me is by making my wine into vinegar, and therefore the seller should not be held responsible. Tosis has a different interpretation. Taisa says that what could cause the wine to become spoiled is when you transport the wine. And therefore, the people, the seller can say to the buyer, it's your fault the way you transported it, and that ruined the wine. So now we need to understand, according to this interpretation, what is the machlokes Rav and Shmuel? So I saw that Ritva explains, according to this interpretation, the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is that Rav's opinion is, yes, transporting the wine can ruin the wine. But when somebody sells wine to a customer, he knows that the customer is going to transport it. And therefore, if this wine is so delicate that improper transportation ruins the wine, so then it's the Rav says it's the Meicher's issue. Whereas Shmuel says, since it's the Lekeach who transported it, once it's the Lekeach that transports it, it becomes the Lekeach's responsibility. Says the Gemara, Over Rav Yosef of the Kavosei the Rav, B'Shikra, Rav Yosef once followed the opinion of Rav by beer. Somebody sold beer to somebody else, and it got ruined right after he bought it. And Rav Yosef said that the seller has to reimburse the buyer. There's the Rishonim point out that the Gemara doesn't say within how many days this happened. And that's why the Rishonim say that we have to explain that if we're speaking about beer and wine in the same shear, it must be in the same sugya, it must be the 3 days. But he says, Bekavasei the Shmuel, v'shmuel. But he passing like Shmuel, b'charma, by wine. And says the Gemara, v'hilchas kavasei the Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel. And the question is, why doesn't he paskin like Shmuel by beer and wine, by beer as he does by wine? That we should say, like the, certainly according to Rashbam's pshat, that it was a bad mazel of the owner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish the buyer, and that's why he ruined his beer. So one pshat is that the Torah says this halacha by wine. The pasuk says af kiyayin baigid. So it's halacha specifically by wine. And the other mandama says, no, that wine, the pasuk doesn't mean only wine. Anything that happens in the rishus of the buyer is that we can put on the buyers as the fault of the buyer. There's an interesting discussion that was asked to the Netziv in the Shas HaTshuvos Meisha Dover Chelegim Masim and Yotes. Somebody bought a cow from someone else, and the cow that he bought didn't give good a quality milk, quantity of milk. And the buyer, therefore, goes back to the seller and tells the seller, when I bought this cow from you, you assured me it was a good, healthy cow, and it's not producing milk like a good cow. And therefore, I want to claim a mekach tos. The halach is that he can't claim it because the seller could say that the cow became sick because the way you treated it, because the way you fed it, where it, the environment that's in, there's so many different factors, and therefore he can't claim mekach tos. But it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch in Chayesh Mishpat Siman Reish Lamed Beis Sif Tezva paskins that somebody bought cheese, and after buying the cheese, there is the cheese is spoiled, and the question is, does the buyer have right to say mekach tos? And the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and we referred to this a moment ago, that if he didn't pay for it yet, hamotzi mechavera olavaraya, and he doesn't have to pay. And the question that the Sma tries to understand is, what's the difference between milk and cheese? So the Sma explains that cheese is something that naturally spoils. And therefore, cheese is something that will spoil. So therefore, when I have cheese and I don't know where it's spoiled, it's likely and possible it's spoiled while it was by the seller. And since it's likely that it's spoiled while it's the seller, and specifically as we're discussing, the buyer had not paid for the cheese, he doesn't have to pay. But cows, a healthy cow, where there's no reason to believe that something happened that should cause this cow to be unhealthy, there's no reason that the cow should change. And if it changed, it becomes the responsibility. We have to think and assume that it was because something that the buyer did. The Rambam teaches us that if somebody was misled into buying something with a defect, he can return for a refund whenever he discovers the defect, even if it's many years later. However, by wine and vinegar, as we're learning in our shir, there's a three-day rule, because we don't know when it turned into vinegar. The Magen Mishnah, however, commenting that when you bought something and it turns out to be defective, you could return it, it says that the buyer always has an obligation to check what he bought immediately, if it's the proper quality. And if he didn't do so, it means that he's accepting what it is, no matter what, and therefore he can't come back with a complaint. So our Gemara, where Rav says that the buyer is entitled to a refund after the first 3 days, within the first 3 days, seems to go against what the Magen Mishnah says. Because the Magen Mishnah says that you're supposed to check immediately, and if you check, and then you'll know. So Rashbam and Tosfos explain that, as we said when we learned the shir, the Rav is speaking about a case where he tasted the wine at the time of the sale. And he tasted it and it was good. Still, if it turns into vinegar within the 3 days, he's entitled to a refund because it takes 3 days for good wine to turn into vinegar. So even though he was supposed to check, and he did check, that doesn't mean that it's still not the buyer's fault that it got ruined. The Lechem Mishnah, however, again, uses the concept that we've been discussing. He says, when does the Magen Mishnah say that you can't forever come back and say that you sold me something defective? That's only where I paid. And now I say what you sold me is defective, and I want my money back. So there, Hamayitz Mechaver Alvaraya, and becomes difficult to get my money back. But if somebody didn't pay for it yet and turns to be spoiled, even though I should have, could have tested it immediately, if I didn't pay, then it becomes the seller's issue because now he's the Hamayitz Mechaver Alvaraya. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Echad Sheichet Tamar v'Echad Sheichet Sairim, whether we have date beer, that means we soak dates in water, and that's how it becomes beer. V'Echad Sheichet Sairim, we soak barley in water and it becomes beer. Vechert Shimra Yayin, they used to have temed. And the way they made temed was that they took the sediment at the bottom of the barrel of wine and they soaked it in water. And all of these cases, Varach Lem Shakal Nia B'dvara. You don't make a Bari Priyates on the date beer. You don't make a Bari Priyadoma Bari Priyadoma or Mazonis on the beer from barley. And you don't make a Bari Priyagofen on the temed. Acherim Oimrim, Shmarim Shesh Bim Tam Yayin, if the temed has the taste of wine, Bavarach Lein Bari Priyagofen, then the halacha is that you will make a Bari Priyagofen. Rabbi Rav Yosef Amitavayu, they both came and told us the halacha is Ein Halacha Cherim, the halacha is not like the Cherim. The Shulchan Aruch says, what about honey that oozes out of the dates? He says, Bavarach Aleim Shackle, the bracha will be shahakel. Why by barley beer is the bracha shahakel? So Tosfos says that we said at the beginning of the shir, you only make a bari min mezainis if we start with something and we made it better. It says making barley into beer is not considered making it better, and therefore you don't make a bari min mezainis. The Taz says because it's mostly water. And since it's mostly water, you make a shakel, and that would be the explanation by all types of beer. The Mishnah Brewer says that you only make a mezainis on a tafshel. Something that's just soaked in water is not something that you're going to make a bari pri adama. And therefore, says the Mishnah Brewer, even if you made beer from barley out of a heavy concentration of barley, it wouldn't change the halacha. And still the halacha would be that you can have enough barley, that you can have barley, that you can have a kezayis of barley, b'chdei achilas pras. It wouldn't change the halacha. The halacha is that you make a shakel. So says the Gemara, when we speak about the temed, which we said the definition of temed is soaking the sediment of the wine until you get this new liquid. So says the Gemara. Amarava, the kol amarama talsa. If you started with 3 cups of wine, v'asa arba, and now after letting this soak, after you let the water soak, you end up with 4 cups. So obviously you have a lot of grape in here, and therefore the bracha will be chamruhu, it'll be considered like wine, and the bracha will be shakal bari pri agofen. Because Rava l'tamei, because Rava says kol chamer d'lo yidore al chat las maya, that the formula for diluting wine is always a ratio of 3 to 1. So here we have the 3 to 1 ratio. We started with 3 cups, and we have 4 cups. So we always have that ratio, and therefore it's lav chamruhu. And if you have that ratio, it's a bari pri agofen. The question, says Rava, continues the Gemara, if Rama tossed of also tossed up, and we started with 3 cups of this water, and I ended up with 3 cups, so obviously they haven't changed what we started off with, v'lav klamu, and it's a shahakal. It's not considered wine. Keep ligi. Where do we have a machlokes? The Ramatlas, so we started with 3 cups of water, and we put the shmarm into them, and now we have vasa tasa plaga, we end up with 3.5 cups. The abundance of a tasa ayil, plus a nafik, we started with 3 cups of water, we have 3 cups of water, and we only have 1/2 cup extra. So now we have a ratio of 6 to 1, because we look at 1/2 cup, and 3 cups, there's 6 1/2 cups, and the shear by dilution of wine is different than the shear of dilution b'chol ha'tarah kula. B'chol ha'tarah kula, we know that the shear of dilution is shishim. By wine, the shear of bittel is 6. And here we have that ratio of 6 to 1. And since we have that the ratio of 6 to 1, it's not considered wine, it's considered water. B'chayim sarvi, t'loso ol, we started with 3 cups of water. And when we end up with 3.5 cups, what we have to assume is that 2.5 cups of those are water. But 1 cup is wine. Partially kuza, I have a whole cup of wine. The kuza betray palga. So now it's a ratio. We don't have that ratio of 6 to 1. We have a much lower ratio. It would really be a ratio of 5 to 2. And then when you have a ratio of wine to water of 5 to 2, Chamra Ma'aliyahu, it's considered full-fledged water, and therefore, since it's considered full-fledged water, it's full-fledged wine, the bracha will be Bari Pri Agofen. So here, our Gemara introduced an important concept. What is the shear of Meziga? What is the shear of dilution by wine? The Gemara said that the shear of dilution by wine is a shear of 6 to 1, and the way when we have wine, we're supposed to dilute it, is 3 parts water to 1 cup wine. But the Paiskim say that this is not a hard and fast rule. And every wine should be viewed differently. And some wines are stronger, and therefore the shear of dilution, you could even put in more water and it still be wine. And there's some wines that are weaker, and if you put in water, then Even the slightest amount of water may make it that it should be considered wine. And that's why the Paiskim say, as long as it tastes like wine and smells like wine, the halacha is that it's going to be considered wine.